headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. It's the Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Number one best-selling author and host of the Dr. John Deloney Show, Dr. John Deloney, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today as we answer your questions about your life and your money. Thank you for joining us, America. We appreciate you hanging out. The phone number is 888-825-5225. Thank you for jumping in. We appreciate you. I'm going to start off this hour with Michael. He is in Roanoke, Virginia. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, Dave. How are you guys?
Great, man. What's up?
Hey, so I'll kind of get straight to it. So me and my fiance, we've been having some discussions about a car she was gifted when she graduated. Her stepmother had talked her dad into putting a lien on the car for about $10,000. And it's been about 5 years now, and we're starting to run into some problems with the car. And since those, in the last 2 years, her dad and stepmom have moved and have not given any addresses, haven't been in any contact, haven't got any responses to texts or calls. So don't really know what to do as far with the car. I would say it's probably getting into the point where it's starting to get under that $10,000 as value. So we're trying to think of if it's worth just running it till the wheels fall off and dropping off in their driveway if we can find it, or really what to do.
So why the disconnect? Why these people took off and nobody knows where they are?
Honestly, I think it's, you know, she had a really good relationship with her dad, and she's got two or three other brothers and sisters that also did. And then when this new lady came in about, say, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, she's kind of been more controlling. He works with her now, after he was retired. It's kind of like if when she was on the phone with him before, it had to be on speakerphone. She was in the background, always talking. He can never have one-on-one time with his kids, practically. So it's been kind of a mess. It's hurt her a lot because they were very close when she was living with them and then after college and things, but it's kind of just disappear off the face of the earth.
As a point of clarification, he could have talked to his kids, but he chose not to.
Yeah.
And that is focusing all this energy on we hate her, hate stepmom, she's the worst, this lady. That's misdirected grief. The grief is dad has chosen a different life that doesn't include us, and that hurts like the pit of hell. And we got to deal with it from that. We got to deal with that, right? That doesn't help your car situation, but that's where the grief has to start. And when dad moves away and doesn't even tell you where he is, that's a very clear behavior as a language. That's a very clear statement. I don't want you in my life. And that hurts, man.
Yeah, absolutely. She's been very hurt by it. And it's kind of caught her off guard, I think, I believe, too.
Sure. Any dad that leaves his daughter, you know, that should catch everybody off guard. It's not how it should be.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I've told her. I told her you can only control what you can control. You can't control what he does. But
okay, let me give you some husband advice. I'll turn over to Dave. Don't ever say that to her.
Okay.
Just hold her hand and say, this hurts and I'm sorry.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
And it's her dad's fault, not her stepmother's fault.
Yeah.
He chose. You can't blame the other person. Talked him into it. He got talked into it. He chose. He made a conscious choice. Now, I assume this is in the state of Virginia.
Yes.
Okay. Different states handle car liens different ways. In our state, the lien has to be actually written on the car title.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys hold a physical title that has a lien written on it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, what I would do is contact an attorney and see. It's probably, I'll give you a guess, this is going to cost you $1,000, but it's less than $10,000. And I would see if there's not some sort of motion to be filed before the court that removes this lien. That just says this lien was placed by a father just to control the car after he gave it as a gift. He's disappeared. We can't find him to get the lien released. There was never any financial transfer. It was a control mechanism, and we're asking for the judge to remove the lien. Clean the title. Okay. And I think I'm almost positive there'll be some sort of legal motion that can be done, and hopefully it's a small claims court thing since it's $10,000, okay? And it's not a, not a super expensive thing, but, you know, I would think you're going to spend $1,000 to do that. Your only other option is, if you want to save the $1,000, is go find this guy and show up.
Okay.
And show up. Because y'all kind of know where he is. She's just hurt, but he works for her. Mm-hmm. She has a business. You know what that is. You can find that business. You can find this Duber. And just show up and go, hey, Duber, you need to release this. You already hurt your daughter. You've crushed her with your abandonment, and you need to sign this. And I'm her husband here telling you, you need to sign this now. And if you don't, I'm going to drag your horrible butt into court and embarrass you. So I'm going to act as the angry husband if I'm you.
Okay.
Don't shoot anybody. That's not what I said. Okay.
Dave, did you hear this guy? He was like, all right, I can do this.
But you don't need to involve her, and this is not about trying to repair their relationship, and this is not, you don't need to take her
this
along.
This is business now.
And this has not got nothing to do with the stepmother. You need a signature from a doofus that should have been a better dad. That's all you need. And I'm going to go save $1,000. I'm going to go drive over there because, dude, you can find him. I promise you. I can tell by the way the story went down. Y'all actually know. You just haven't chased him.
I often tell folks.
Because you didn't want to find him.
There's a moment when you stop being my father-in-law and you start being the man who keeps making my wife cry.
Yeah.
And when you switch to that switch, when that switch flips, yeah, now exactly. We're having a different conversation. Dave, help me here. I'm ignorant. What does that mean that you can just put a lien on something like that?
Well, I mean, if you have a car title, if you have a car title, you can write on there a lien. Just take your car title, flip it over on the back. In most states, there's a place for the lien holder. And that's where the bank writes a lien on there. And then the bank, typically, if you do it with a bank, right, or a car company that has a car payments, they'll hold the title. They keep the title physically. But in this case, Michael has the physical title. It just has written on it. And you can't take it down and transfer it because it has written on it a lien, and that lien has to be released.
Until $10,000. What does that mean?
Well, no, I mean, it's just, he just made up a number and put it on there. The dad did. To control the car. He wanted to make sure the car didn't get sold without his permission. That's what he was doing.
Okay.
And there was no actual transfer of cash here. He didn't loan them $10,000. He gave her a car, and then the stepmother goes, she's just going to go sell it and run off with some boy. And he goes, okay, I'll just put a lien on it.
He put a leash and a dog collar on his daughter.
Exactly.
And said, you tell me thank you for that.
Exactly.
Wow, what a jerk.
And then took off to the mountains. And we're going to go find boy child. This is The Ramsey Show. Hey, folks, Dave Ramsey here. There are moments in life we don't want to forget, like your kid's graduation or the once-in-a-lifetime trip. For the big moments, the everyday moments, and everything in between, every dollar is there to help you budget for all of it. It's the simple budgeting app that helps you plan, save, and spend for the important things. Budget for the life you really want, every moment of it. Download the app or check the link in the show notes to create your free account today. Every dollar. Thanks for joining us, America. Dr. John Deloney, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host. John, it's been about a year since Own Your Past, Change Your Future hit the shelves.
That's right. Since it was published, I got tons of calls from people asking me for private sessions, and could we just talk for an hour or two? And obviously, I can't meet one-on-one with every single person. It's not possible. But that's why I wrote Own Your Past, Change Your Future. Think of us sitting across from one another having a conversation. The book offers practical advice and encouragement on topics like relationship, overcoming past hurts, and healing from traumas. And as you read through each section, I'll show you how to learn from what happened in your past so you can go create this new life. And listen, for the first time ever, we're including it in the $10 sale, but you got to hurry. The sale ends in 1 week. Get Own Your Past, Change Your Future today, or any of the Questions for Humans conversation cards. Dave, I just got a note from the guys over in the store. Good grief. Those questions for human cards
sell like crazy.
RamseySolutions.com. Everything's $10, so go for it.
Love it. Check it all out. Melanie is in Los Angeles. Hi, Melanie. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
I've recently entered baby step 4, and I was curious what the most effective way to save the 15% for retirement is when you have irregular independent contractor income. I imagine the simplest way is 15% divided by the 12 months, but some months I make $3,000, some months I make $8,000, and after my four walls and saving for taxes, I don't always have that left.
And how are you, you're independent contractor, so you're funding this as just Roth IRAs, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay. You know, you could just set the money aside each month and then do it once a year into the investment.
Okay, and just make sure that
And then if you're short 1 month, you make it up another month, right?
Okay, yeah. I figured that might be the case. I was curious if there was like a secret way to make it more consistent.
No, there's no secret. It's just, you know, if you have to drop into your food budget because you had an automatic draft at 15% of your income, right, then that's not cool.
Yeah, that's not helpful.
Right. Yeah, and your income is volatile enough that you could have that. So, yeah, you run it on the average and then just say, on average, each month I need to do this. If I have a $3,000 month, I can't do it, so I got to make it up the other month when I have an $8,000 month.
Okay, and then by the end of the year, it's just about making sure that there's 15% of whatever that ends up being.
Yeah, yeah. The problem with that is just the discipline that it requires. The attention to detail that it requires.
Yeah.
And so that you just got to guard against getting sloppy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I can do details, but I don't try to set up systems that require me to do details. I set up systems that are auto. Mm-hmm. And this is not auto. So the only way I know how to do this is manually. And what I figured. Yeah, what you're talking about. But if you just, you know, but make sure that you set yourself up on a plan that if you're not a detail person, that you got something that's driving you to keep the system in place.
I have to wonder if some of the challenges with the irregular income aren't the same challenges that would make this hard, right? If you are have strong attention to detail when you're getting started and you are strong focus on your marketing, on your business, the irregularity
might not be there.
Might not be there. Yeah.
That's a possibility. Yeah, possibility. So, yeah, if you're doing, let's say you're an industry that is not known for detail, like if you're an accountant or an engineer, you'd be known for detail. If you were a graphic artist, you might not be known for detail, yeah, right? And so if that's what's going on, because
my wife would be much better at putting money aside in the designated account.
She would.
And
she
writing
would
a check December 15th for a year's worth.
Yeah, she'd definitely be better.
I'm going to mail in some Skittles wrappers and hope that they deposit.
Keep your attention span off of the gummy bears. Yeah, that would be true. All right, Nick is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is what to do with unexpected income, whether to put it on our mortgage or use it for a bathroom remodel.
Is that the baby step you're in?
We are out of debt, have a fully funded emergency fund, and we have a mortgage on our house right now.
Okay, so you're putting 15% of your income away for retirement.
Yes, sir.
Have you got children?
One baby, yep.
Okay, and are you addressing their college in baby step 5?
Yep.
Okay. So you don't need it for either one of 4 or 5. You're down to 6 or a bathroom. Either one is fine.
Right.
Well, how much money are we talking about?
I mean, not a ton. My wife is currently not working because she stayed at home for the first 6 months of our son's life. And it's just $700 a month for babysitting.
Okay, so I would just put that in your budget and then decide what you want to do with it. But then it takes you back to... Because baby steps 4, 5, and 6 is when you can do some things like upgrade a bathroom or put it on the mortgage. And either one is fine. You guys just need to be in agreement about what the budget looks like. Because if 100% of the time you get extra money, you never throw it at the mortgage, you always upgrade something, you're never going to pay off the mortgage early. If 100% of the time you throw it at the mortgage early and you don't do any upgrades or any increases of quality of life and lifestyle, that's not sustainable emotionally. You're going to burn up. So, you've got to just find that balance, that ebb and flow in that, the tide goes in, the tide goes out thing, to where you get some of each going on. But $700 is not building a bathroom. So, 10 months from now, you'd have $7,000, and you might talk about doing some kind of bathroom.
I think I saw a stat the other day that the average bathroom remodel is $8 million. Good gosh.
I've told you at least 1,000 times not to exaggerate.
Good grief. I had someone come look at our house, and they're like, yeah, we can knock this out. Here's kind of this. It's going to be $14 million.
Yeah, they charged you $1 million just to come do that. Good. Just to give you the estimate. Yeah.
I don't know what they put under the subfloors and bathrooms, but good.
Gold. That's where you store your gold. Yeah. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Thank you for joining us. Johnny is in Connecticut. Hi, Johnny. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure. What's up?
So I just bought a house a year ago, and I currently have about like $45,000 sitting in an account with a money manager, and I've had my money with him for about 3 years now, and I'm still sitting at my original investment, so I'm wondering how great it's doing in there and if it'd be better to just put that towards my mortgage.
I always put 100% of non-retirement savings above the emergency fund towards the mortgage.
Right, so you think that it would be better off
I always
towards
put,
my mortgage?
I always put 100% of non-retirement savings above the emergency fund toward the mortgage until the mortgage is paid off. Because otherwise, let's say you had that invested in mutual funds as an example, okay?
Right.
And you didn't reduce your mortgage. Balance sheet-wise, it's as if you borrowed on your house to invest in mutual funds. And you wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So pay down the mortgage.
Okay. Yeah, because I do plan on selling the house in about a year and a half. So I figured it'd be better off doing that, and then I'm actually putting more principal down on my house every month than
Let's get your house paid off. I mean, whether it's this one or the next one. When you sell your house, if you paid down the mortgage, they give you a check. It's called equity. Paying down the mortgage is not an expenditure that is lost money. It's laying there. You're banking it in dirt and bricks and mortar.
And also, Dave, isn't there a chance that over the last 3 years with the up and down and the volatility that you could look up and being even would be a pretty good place to be?
Yeah, I don't think your guy's doing a bad job. If he was doing a great job, if you made 20% on your money, I would still tell you, pay down your house. Because all the data points we have that says the shortest distance between where you are and your first $1 to $5 million in net worth is getting your stinking house paid off. And loading 15 to 20% of your income into your retirement. Not playing footsie with some brokerage account. It's just not there. I mean, it's not there. There's no data that says that.
Financial footsie.
That's it. I mean, you can find that on TikTok, but you can't find that with real millionaires. This is The Ramsey Show.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, if you're like me at this time of the year, all of the school plays and meetings and invites from everywhere have completely drained your social battery. Or maybe you're like some of my friends who are bursting with energy so much that everyone may be telling you to just chill out a little. If you're having trouble navigating mismatched energy levels, boundaries, or finding people to do life with, it might be time to talk to a therapist. Therapy can be a place to open up with someone who's been trained to listen and walk alongside you and help you find paths through the chaos of mismatched energy levels and more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, try BetterHelp. BetterHelp is completely online and flexible enough to fit your schedule. Just fill out a short questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Deloney today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Deloney.
Dr. John Deloney, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Thanks for joining us. Today's question is sponsored by Neighborly, your hub for home services. Spring is here, and it's time to handle those projects that have been on pause. Neighborly's got top quality home service providers like Mr. Handyman, Glass Doctor, Precision Garage Door Service, and Shelf Genie. So find the local help you need at neighborly.com today.
Today's question comes from Catherine in Florida. She writes, I'm a longtime follower of your Baby Step program, and I enjoy catching up on your radio show on YouTube. That sentence did not exist a few years ago. My question is about how to deal with family members' opinions on living below your means, driving an older car, having older electronics, a small apartment, etc. I lived in a studio apartment while I was in college. After graduation, I landed a great job working at an investment advisory firm and moved into a two-bedroom apartment with a roommate. We both work remotely and use the second bedroom as an office. Recently, my roommate's aunt stopped by to see the new apartment and commented that it was small. I didn't say anything to her, but inside I felt terrible. A two-bedroom apartment was an upgrade for me in terms of space, and with the increase in my income and shared expenses, I was spending less money than I was when I was a student. I know we can't control what others say, and they are definitely entitled to their opinions. I also don't want to imply that their aunt is judgmental. Well, she is. I just want to know how I can control that inner voice that felt embarrassed when someone didn't understand why I live the way that I do. Ooh, that's a great question. I find, Dave, when I have not spent some time making sure my values are anchored into an identity, other people can throw, I can try things like a new workout, like a new diet plan or something, and somebody will just casually dismiss it, and it will affect me. But when I have made a choice, I'm a guy who, fill in the blank, takes my kid to Waffle House. Waffle House is probably not the healthiest choice for us, but that's where we go. And I love it, and I won't miss it. And so it doesn't even enter my mind when somebody makes a comment about, oh, that's not healthy. Like, because I'm so anchored into that as a thing, or someone dismisses my faith out of hand. Like, I don't lose a second of sleep over that, because it's an anchor point to me. I've connected my values with my identity. It feels like if you're trying something on, it's a recipe for somebody can speak into it.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of thinking off the top of my head here, so push back if that doesn't sound right.
Godliness with contentment is great gain. And so if you are content, and this is your decision, you have peace sitting in the decision, and that's an identity.
That's a much less nerdy way to say that than I just said.
You're sitting in your identity.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're okay if, you know, the aunt wants to get her bigger apartment. That's her choice, but this is what I wanted, and it's me. I have a black pickup truck. You think black pickup trucks are ugly? Well, that's okay. I'm really comfortable. I picked that truck. I like it. And so, you know, I don't really give a rip what you
think
about
the verbiage for me changed back when, and you and I have talked about this quite a bit, when I, with the phrase, you don't get a vote.
Yeah.
And so really sitting down and deciding, being intentional in my life, who are the people who do get a vote?
Yeah.
My wife, a couple of close, like, it's a very, very small list. When it comes to, you know, I want to challenge your value.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, like you said, how anchored are you in this? Because it's a great discussion. That's why we're having it. But the if you're anchored in it and you really believe it, then you wouldn't be embarrassed.
Yeah, if somebody came by and goes, you know, this guy is green, right?
If they're actually right when they bring something up and you're not that anchored in it, then it would throw you off.
Absolutely.
It's like, I mean, do you live in a dump? You know, I mean, if you do, maybe she's telling you you need to upgrade. You know, I mean, that may be what's going on. But if you just are completely comfortable with that, I think you're exactly right. It's how far you're anchored into it. I mean, I got into this thing this morning. I was at another event, and I was one of the speakers, and I ended up back in the green room with a bunch of these guys that were intellectuals, which is always fun for me because I'm a wiener in a steakhouse. And so this guy is throwing out, you know, this verbiage, and he's like, yes, but what about arbitraging? And if you pay off your 2.5% mortgage and all this, and I finally looked at him, I said, dude, I think you need to keep your mortgage. But you asked me what I thought, and I own several $100 million worth of real estate, debt-free, and when COVID hit, I wasn't worried about payments. So that's how I live. If you don't want to do it, it's okay. But, you know, even though you're a bazillion times smarter than me, I got more real estate than you do.
Ta-da!
I mean, it's, you know, and it's all paid for.
So, the real
question
is, you know, can you kick my...
You know, it's just, you know, I mean, it's kind of that, you know, okay, I get it. But yeah. Did you really think you were going to have a discussion with Dave Ramsey in the green room and talk him into going into debt?
And you were
going to
sit back and go,
was there any level?
I never thought of it. No way.
I mean, intellectually, I found someone who was smart enough that got me on this.
No way.
After 30 years. No, you're kidding. You know, and I'm just like, oh, I mean, whatever you want to do, dude, it's okay. I'm not mad at you. I love you. You can go get in debt if you want. But as for me and my house, we're pretty anchored in this one. Pretty much an identity thing.
Yeah, so I would go back to Catherine and say, why are you choosing this life?
Yeah.
Well, I want to live below my means. And okay, great. Then other people don't get a vote.
Everything that she said was joyful.
Absolutely.
Until the aunt showed up.
Mm-hmm. That aunt didn't get a vote.
Yeah. And so she doesn't get a vote. That's all it is. It's
And that's something you practice. That's easier said than done.
It is. And the other thing is this. It's a perspective thing. It goes with contentment. So the thing I always remember is this. I have the inordinate benefit of having gone completely broke. And once you've gone completely broke, you really don't care what other people think. Because you figure out most of them aren't going to be around anyway.
It's like watching a fighter that's been knocked out. They're a little wilder the next time because that's what happens.
Oh, that's how it works. I didn't die from it.
Now I can be a little bit more relentless.
I'm gonna lean in here and, you know, I love folk and I want you to win and I want to help you, but I'm not really taking a poll. You know, before I make a decision on stuff. I lost what the Bible calls fear of man. I don't need affirmation to make good quality value-based decisions. I make those decisions regardless. And if I get some affirmation, that's wonderful. I'm like anybody else. I like it. But I don't have to have that to do anything. And honestly, when some of you get pissed off, it kind of inspires me. So, you know, it causes me to go to double down, you know. So, and because I found that most of you are that wrong. And so that's why we do this show for 30 years is to help you, you know. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of that going on in the contentment thing. Contentment is, do I have peace? Am I anchored in this with a part of my identity? And how much affirmation do I need to support my values-based decisions? And the less of that you need, the better financial decisions you're going to make.
All day, every day.
Because most people are broke. And if your broke friends are making fun of your financial plan, you are right on track.
Well, and the better parenting decisions you'll make. I don't want my kid to be the only kid with 3-year-old without their own iPad. Be the only one. My kid to be the only. You're going to make better parenting, better marriage decisions. You make every decision will be better when you identify who gets a vote and who doesn't. And when you identify that identity and what it's anchored into, man.
Yeah, my kids weren't homeschooled, but I saw this thing the other day that I thought was, in the current world we live in, was pretty funny. The guy's
get the dump button ready,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, really, you ready? One guy's saying to the other, he goes, you know, your children are not going to be socialized and not going to be like all the other children if you homeschool them. And the guy goes, yep.
You are correct,
kind of the point. You are correct, sir.
You are correct, sir.
You are correct, sir. Yeah, that'd be, you know, shoo. Yeah, I don't want to be cray-cray. It's a good thing, yeah.
it's tough out there, man.
Whew. Man, y'all, some of y'all people have lost it. I'm just saying, this is the Ramsey Show. Guys, it's no secret that the real estate market is weird right now. So go with a mortgage company you can trust to have your back. Churchill Mortgage. Churchill is Ramsey trusted because they're stable, reliable, and focused on you. At a time when a lot of companies are being bought out or going out of business, count on Churchill Mortgage to stick around. They've been doing things the right way for over 30 years, and they'll keep doing them the right way for 30 more. Get started at ChurchillMortgage.com.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. Equal Housing Lender. 1749 Mallory Lane, Suite 100. Brentwood, Tennessee 37027.
Dr. John Deloney, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Travis is with us in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hi, Travis. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, Mr. Ramsey, Dr. John Deloney. It's a pleasure to speak to you both today.
You too. What's up?
So I am, my question is how to get out of debt with my current salary as a truck driver, projected to make $80,000 this year.
Okay. How much is your debt?
Total debt is $67,000. $40,000 is student loan debt. And then I have $11,000 balance on a car, and the rest is credit cards.
Okay. You single?
So I've been trying to make a... I am dating, currently living with my partner, and so that's kind of tricky because when I moved in with her, I was over the road, and now I'm a local driver, so I pay her to help her with the mortgage, but we're not married yet. Planning on engagement soon, so...
Okay, so you are paying part of your roommate's payment as rent?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah, and your rent is how much?
$500 a month.
Okay. All right, so you make $80,000 a year and you have a $500 a month rental. Okay?
Yep.
So what's wrong with getting on a tight budget and beginning to pay these debts down? You should have all kinds of margin in this budget.
Yeah, and I've been trying to see that for myself, like I have in my notes, all my bills and credit cards, how much each monthly payment, the sum of them is for the minimum balance. I've been following, listening to you guys over the last couple months for the baby steps.
Yeah.
But I just can't seem to get ahead of
You haven't done a budget yet. So what is your take home pay?
About $1,200 a week.
Okay, you get paid once a week?
Correct.
Okay, you sit down and you look at June. How many times are you going to get a paycheck? Let's pretend it's four, okay? That would give you $4,800 to work with, minus $500 for rent, minus food.
Correct.
Minus some car gas, minus the minimum payments on all of these bills, and everything else goes towards the stupid credit card until it's gone. And you cut up the credit card.
I've cut two of them up since I've started listening to you. I've paid.
I feel like you drove right past all the room that should be in this budget. $4,800 minus $500 minus food. That's a buttload of money left over.
Yeah.
It's about $3,600 or $3,700.
Yeah. How much is the balance on the credit card?
I have three of them left. One's $2,150, $600, and $700.
Okay. So, you should pay the $600 and $700 off this month and probably the $2,150.
Yep. So you're done with credit cards in 2 months.
One month.
Oh, 1 month. Let's do it.
Okay.
But you're not going out to eat. Yep. And you're not going on vacation. And you're not going drinking with your buddies. You got no life.
No.
You're getting ready to clean up your dadgum mess because you want to get married.
Yes.
And it's time to clean up your mess. So what I'm teaching you is what's called a zero-based budget. Your income each month, unique to that month, minus every dollar gets an assignment. Every dollar has a mission. Every dollar has a name beside it before the month begins. Before June gets here next week, you need to have figured out what your income for June is and assign every one of those dollars first to necessities, food, shelter, clothing, transportation, and utilities. So rent, car payment, car gas, food, okay? That's it. And then everything else, dude, we're going at this at these credit cards like they're the freaking enemy, because they are.
Yeah.
If you had $4,800 minus $500 and you had $2,600 makes you debt-free, or I'm sorry, $3,200 makes you debt-free, you're debt-free of your credit cards in 1 month. You really should be.
Right.
That's how you do it.
Absolutely.
That's how you do it right there. And jump online and pick up the, or hang on, we'll give you the Every Dollar app, and we'll get you tied into the advanced version of the Every Dollar app, which connects to your bank and helps you run your budget. It's the world's best budgeting app, and it'll help you, but it's giving every dollar a name. That's the point. When you get very detailed, very nuanced, and very careful with your planning each and every single month, and you squeeze every one of these dollars until Benjamin Franklin is squealing, then you are ready to go. And that's what we're doing. We're not spending money on anything because we're trying to clean this mess up. So realistically, you've got $55,000 in debt. You make $80,000, but you got almost no expenses. You probably could be 100% debt free in a year. Pretty close.
A year. And for everybody listening, I want don't blow by this because it's easy to look at him and be like, man, that guy. You can't out earn your unintentionality, your lack of intentionality. He's making $80,000+ a year, and he can't figure out where it's going.
How to pay off a $2,000 credit card?
Can't figure it out. And I don't, it's not because he's dumb. It's because it's just chaos. There's too many spinning plates everywhere.
Yep.
And that's what a budget does.
It's all spun up in your brain and then the ether and everything else. And so giving every dollar an assignment, every time you do this, people, if, those of you that haven't done it, you need to sit down and do it tonight. June's coming next week. And you sit down and do your dadgum budget, maybe for the first time in your life. Put your income for the month at the top of the page and then give every dollar an assignment. I will promise you two things will happen. Number one thing will happen is that you will feel like you got a raise because you will go, where is all this freaking money going? It's going to blow your mind how much you waste. And the second thing that's going to happen is you're going to get a sense of peace instead of a sense of anxiety. Even though you've actually done nothing with money yet, now you've actually executed a plan that says, if I take these 17 steps, I'm going to be free. And as soon as you see the steps in front of you and you realize they're doable, your anxiety goes down, your stress level goes down, your peace level goes up, and you kind of just slick your hair back and go, okay, let's get about the business of doing this.
Let's go.
Yeah. Game on. And people lean into it, and it changes everything. Timothy is in Chicago. Hi, Timothy. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be on your show today.
Honored to have you. What's up?
My wife and I are wondering if we should use a portion of our emergency fund to pay our mortgage off.
How much is in your emergency fund?
Currently, we are at $46,500.
Okay.
And we owe 30, all intents and purposes, 34.
Okay. And you don't have any other money to put into this equation. So you would drain your $46,500 by 34?
Yes, sir.
What's your household income?
Base salaries, we're looking at $130,000.
No, I didn't ask. Ask what your household income is.
Oh, my goodness. Between mine and my wife's, we're looking at $136,000.
Okay. That's what I was after. Yeah, good. Yeah. All right. And so here's the thing. Paying off a house is a really good thing. And we really tell everybody to do it. It's not an emergency. So if you go below 3 to 6 months, if you go below 3 months of expenses in order to do this, you cut too deep. And it kind of feels like you are.
Okay.
What do you think? What's three months of expenses?
3 months of expenses, we're looking at $18,000-$19,000.
All right. Let's call it 20, which means you have $26,500 to throw at your 34.
Okay.
Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then in the next, by Christmas, you just cash flow the rest of it and knock it out.
Okay. Now, my wife will be getting bonuses throughout the next several months, which will be paying down the mortgage further.
Yeah.
Given that happening,
yeah,
we're looking at August.
Okay.
Done.
Now, the question, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Then do it. Yeah.
Done.
Absolutely. Go that route. That's what I would do. Yeah, that's the whole idea. So by Christmas, we're rebuilding emergency fund maybe from 3 months up to 6 months, which you don't need more than 40.
Well, that's by August. I mean, that's if he pays this thing off in August with some bonuses.
Well, then they got to rebuild it,
right?
Up from 20 up to 40.
Oh, by Christmas.
But
gotcha.
No more than 40 in your emergency fund. You don't need 46 in your emergency fund. If 20 represents 3 months, 40 represents 6 months. 6 months is enough. Then move on to your other steps. This is the Ramsey Show.
Hey, it's Dr. John Deloney. If you love the show and want a deeper dive on your money journey, we have a weekly newsletter that gives you trending and helpful articles and tips on following the Ramsey way. Just go to RamseySolutions.com today to sign up for our newsletter. Again, that's RamseySolutions.com to sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.